The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Punt Intended, a fantasy NBA dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Rhett Bauer, joined as always by the excited Bulls fan, Travis Fuller.
Oh, absolutely love free agency. Probably the best free agency since I've been alive. So it's been amazing for the Bulls, but just amazing for basketball in general. A lot of great moves going on. Can't wait to break that down in future episodes. It's a really exciting time to be a dynasty basketball fan. We have the draft, we have free agency, we got Vegas Summer League coming up, Olympic hoops still going on. So a lot of great stuff to be following along.
And you may be wondering, hey, if it's that exciting, why are you guys waiting to record a pod about the draft that happened a couple days ago when we've got so much free agency stuff? Well, I was moving into a house, which it wasn't planned, but it was kind of, we're supposed to close a week and a half earlier. So I would have been done. We would have been moved in and would have been perfect for free agency, but they decided to push our closing date back and screw free agency up. So we're doing draft for two episodes and we'll do free agency and then we'll be back on track, breaking down everything. So that's just a little bit life corner there. So first things first, number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham. He is the franchise player now. And so everything bends to him. But we've talked about it before. Killian Hayes is probably he's the most impacted player on the roster. But from the way Troy Weaver has been talking about it, it seems like they'll be 1A, 1B. Do those thoughts change how you feel about Killian going into this season?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I've been saying to not overreact based on what Killian did last year because he played, I think he only played, seven games healthy. So you can't overreact on a rookie who only played that many games on a very bad team last year. I was a little bit concerned when we first found out Detroit winning the lottery, getting the first overall pick. I was really concerned for Killian. But word from camp sounds pretty good. It makes a lot of sense. They invested in him a lot last year. So it makes a lot of sense that they'll share the ball. I think it makes more sense for Killian to actually run the offense since Cade is a really good shooter and can be a playmaker, but we'll see how that goes. I still think Cade is going to eventually develop into a guy that just demands the ball 24/7, like a Luka Doncic does, but we'll see. If things sound really great out of the Detroit Pistons camp, and everything points to him and Killian sharing the ball right out the get-go, which is great news for both players.
Yeah, I could not be more excited about what they keep saying about Killian Hayes as a Killian Hayes owner. I think I agree with you long-term. It might turn into a detriment to Killian because Cade, we just think he's going to be that good. But we're not going to talk about that because Killian's going to be great this year and make everybody who traded him low look silly. Number two, Jalen Green to Houston. I understand why. I think I probably would have just taken Mobley if I was them, but Houston took Green. He shows up, and the only player that Green really impacts, I think, is Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm also, the concerns we had for a guy like John Wall are there no matter who they would have added here. it's more about injury and limited playing time with Wall, not so much Kevin Porter Jr. taking the point guard role or anything like that from him. So yeah, I think KPJ is still gonna play. He'll get good minutes. I love this pick though from Houston. Jalen Green's gonna get as many minutes as he can handle. He's gonna get as many shot attempts as he can handle. So I absolutely love that for him. It's a perfect spot for him to land. And I want to give who I think Jalen Green kind of reminds me of going into the year, just looking at their stats and the kind of rookie season I think he can have or even improve upon. And that is comparing Jalen Green to Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick last year. And Rhett, you can see there, their stats are just surprisingly similar based on Jalen Green's G League numbers and Anthony Edwards' rookie numbers.
We've been talking about this for a while. I think we've teased it twice now. And for those of you who may be thinking we're exaggerating, go look up their stats because they are eerily similar. You know, we've got 1.4 points, 0.6 rebounds, 0.1 assists, 0.4 steals, 0.2 blocks, 0.5 turnovers. Like, that's the difference that we're talking about. The shooting is a pretty big difference. It's about 46 to 42%. Obviously, you could factor in the G League versus the NBA, but there's a crazy similarity. And I mean, if you're looking at that and you're looking at what Ant did last year and you look at what Green did in the G League, you kind of feel good about what Houston did at number two and the type of player that they have moving forward. But to the guy I would have taken and the guy who should be going number two in your guys' rookie drafts, Evan Mobley to Cleveland. Clearly, they believe that they can play Mobley and Allen together after extending Allen 5 for 100, which makes him the fifth highest paid center in the NBA, which is crazy to think about, but we'll cover that later. Mobley, who's the loser here? Is there one? Kevin Love? He's a loser regardless. Like, he's not going to play there. So that was a bit rude, but anybody else?
I'd say the biggest loser is Larry Nance, somebody that you can always pick up. It seems like you can always pick him up later, or he's just not really valued too much throughout most leagues, but can be a really useful player when he's been given those minutes. And every year he always seems to find a role, find minutes due to a Kevin Love injury. So he's probably the biggest loser. He's going to be in a backup role this year. The nice part about him is he can come in and play either the four and move Mobley to the five, or he can come in for Mobley when Allen's playing the five. So I think the minutes will be decent for him, but his overall outlook, if you were expecting him to start and get a starter's workload, I don't think that's going to be the case for him this year, unfortunately.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think in terms of a developmental context, Mobley is in a great spot to be able to float back and forth between the four and the five, so it doesn't pressure him into playing one or the other. You could argue that playing him next to Christian Wood would have been the same thing, but playing him next to Allen, who's more of a traditional big with the different type of rim protection that Allen offers over Wood, makes for an interesting context that I'm really excited to see how that works out. But speaking of developmental context, this is where the draft got super funky, and Toronto, they did it. They took Scottie Barnes fourth overall instead of Jalen Suggs. And while I don't think this impacts anybody who's currently on the team in terms of fantasy profiles, it could impact who is actually on the team moving forward. Don't you agree?
I do. Toronto's one of the harder teams to just figure out what they're doing there.
Such a wide range. Even with losing Kyle Lowry, we know that now. It's still such a wide range.
It's so tough to figure out what they're going to end up doing. I mean, they still don't even have a center right now. So who knows what they're going to do? Really surprised that Barnes was taken there. Toronto obviously liked him, and they did a really good job of keeping that quiet. I think the biggest winner here has nothing to do with Barnes. I think it's Malachi Flynn. That's pretty easy there. They re-signed Gary Trent. Obviously, Fred VanVleet's going to be there. and be their starter. But Malachi Flynn's going to be that first guard off the bench. He's going to get solid minutes. He played really well in his limited playing time last year. And when he got to start there a little bit towards the end of the year, he was able to put up some good numbers. So with them passing on Suggs, I think that's just absolutely huge for Malachi Flynn. And you have to be really excited if you're an owner of him.
On the flip side of that, though, them passing on Suggs is a lot more about Barnes than it is about Flynn. Like they didn't pass on Suggs because they had Malachi Flynn. They passed on Suggs because they can have Scotty Barnes. So if don't get too excited there, Malachi Flynn owners. But Orlando made the right decision. They took Jalen Suggs at 5, who I'm sure they were just ecstatic to get. But every guard owner on the Magic that did not have Jalen Suggs is not ecstatic with this pick. And I know because I'm one of them.
Yeah, you have to assume Suggs is going to get the minutes right away, right out the gate, which really hurts their first round pick last year. Cole Anthony is the one that's definitely hurt the most.
Yep.
A guy that it was kind of pegged to be the starter coming into the season with Fultz still ailing with that ACL. But now I really don't know. I have no idea how that roster is going to be constructed, what their depth chart is going to look like. The only thing that I can assume is Suggs is going to be in that starting lineup. And now you have a lot of guys like Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Gary Harris is still around. There's a lot of guys that are going to be fighting for minutes, and I don't know how it's going to pan out for all of them.
I know how it's going to pan out for at least one of them, and it's actually going to be our MyBookie bet of the day, and it's going to be that Jalen Suggs leads all point guards in minutes played for the Magic this year. He is the best guard on that roster right now. He hasn't even played a game for them, and he's probably the best guard on the roster. They're the most heavily invested in him of any of these guards on the roster. They just got RJ Hampton in a trade. They have Markelle Fultz extended him last year. And then they did spend that pick on Cole Anthony, but you got to have Suggs in there. He's going to be your franchise player. That's why you drafted him at 5. You got to make the most out of him. And so that's our MyBookie bet of the day is Jalen Suggs leading all point guards in minutes played for the Orlando Magic. Bet with the best, bet with MyBookie. I want to stick with Orlando. We're going to jump around on picks a little bit to jump to 8 and just continue talking about Orlando. Franz Wagner, I think he's going to impact Okiki, which if you had been listening to us from the start, you should have already traded Okiki away because he closed the season in a manner that we didn't think was realistic. And we knew that Orlando had these top picks. We just thought it was going to be Jonathan Kuminga taking his minutes instead of Franz Wagner.
Yeah, Wagner, he landed in really just a phenomenal spot. The only guys in front of him on that depth chart are Okiki and Isaac. Neither guy has really shown to prove that they've been healthy for a full season. So he's in a really good spot. Obviously, they really like him a lot to take him here at 8. Yeah, I'm a little concerned for Okiki. We already knew when we talked about the way he finished the season to definitely be selling high. And I really hope he heeded that advice because this is really going to hurt him.
On the other side of that, Jonathan Isaac isn't exactly a staple of health. So if Isaac does get nicked up, I think he's going to even start the season nicked up. Might not even be there for opening night, but Okiki could slide to the 4 and then you've got Wagner or 3, you know, it's positionless, whatever. But Wagner's one of the only players on this team that can shoot. It's funny that the Magic got their 2 best shooters in the draft, like on their entire team. That's just ridiculous to me. Getting back on track, OKC at 6 continued the funkiness of the draft and took Josh Giddey at 6th overall. Pretty surprising. I thought for sure they were going to take Kuminga because that I think he just had the highest upside at that spot. But clearly they saw something in Giddey. And for fantasy, this is an incredible landing spot for him.
A perfect landing spot for Giddey. Just going down the list, looking at all these teams that he could have potentially gone to. OKC's by far the best one, his best landing spot. Before the draft, it seemed like it was between Booknight, Kuminga, you know, flip-flop pretty much any mock you looked at. And then all of a sudden they take Giddey. So it's great for him. I don't think really anybody in this lottery, he's the one that shot up the most. He's going to be pretty high up there in our Dynasty rookie drafts. I can see him cracking the top 5 in Dynasty rookie drafts, being that 5th pick. If not, I'll probably take him 6th if I'm in that spot. So a guy that really shot up my draft board as far as rookie drafts go.
I don't think this impacts SGA very much. It could limit his assists a little bit because Giddey is not a shooter, and so he will likely have the ball in his hands, similar to Cade Killian in that regard, where the worst shooter if the passing is equal, if the advantage creation is equal, you give the ball to the worst shooter so that the better shooter can be off ball and threaten the defenses that way. Theo Maledon, sorry. Like we knew this was coming. We tried telling you players that teams are not heavily invested in on bad teams, they can be replaced easily, and that's definitely what happened.
Yeah, we knew Kimbo was gonna be gone. It was gonna be right soon. So
yeah,
that's even better for Giddey.
Congrats to the Knicks on that. I think that's a good move, but we'll talk about that later. Number 7 overall, Golden State took Kuminga. I didn't think they would. I really didn't. But at the same time, Kuminga's not there to play for the Warriors. He's there to play for whatever team they trade for a star.
Yeah, I actually really like the pick. He was probably number one on their board. On most boards, he was the best player available at the time. So I don't mind it because Golden State's a team that we just assume that they're going to trade that pick. I don't know if drafting a guy like Mitchell or Duarte at that early is going to affect their chances this year. So I really like the pick. Kuminga obviously is going to have a ton of trade value throughout the season. As far as his appeal coming into the year, obviously it's not very high. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get on a Golden State team with championship aspirations. But I kind of don't mind that if I'm in my rookie draft coming up. I think he's a guy that is going to slide down that board. And if you can pick him up in that late top 10 and just hold him for a year or two, I think you got to be pretty excited because as far as potential goes, he's in that top 5 to me in this list.
He has a very wide range of outcomes because it's going to take a move to the right team and it's going to take a lot of development for him to turn into something that is fantasy relevant and then worth getting all of the usage that he may require to be that elite level player. But I completely agree with them taking the pick. I don't love the explanation for it where it's like, oh, well, if Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andrew Wiggins can't win, then those guys weren't good enough. Because I don't really agree with that. You could still take a cost-controlled player that can help if you have championship aspirations, not if you're a borderline play-in team like the Pacers taking Duarte. But we'll get there. Jumping up to number 9, Sacramento taking Davion Mitchell. I think that they panicked after Wagner wasn't there and just... Mitchell, what do you think?
No, I 100% agree. That's exactly what happened. And it's things that I've read about the pick there, Sacramento just said they took the best player on their board, and that happened to be Mitchell at the time. So,
good process, but like, is it?
I know there's a lot of negativity with the fit there. I honestly don't mind it. When they picked Mitchell, I thought, okay, here comes a Buddy Hield trade coming up. You know, I was just waiting for some Buddy Hield rumors to pop up, and those have all kind of subsided now. So there is a little bit of concern there that they have Fox, Hield, and Halliburton. But the Kings do run a lot of 3-guard sets. They did a lot of that last year. So I think Mitchell's going to be able to find his way in there. He's a great defender. We all know that. That was his calling card coming out of college. But he's a playmaker too. So he can do some good things there. A guy that can handle the ball and play defense. I think he's always going to find a spot either on the bench or as a more of a low end starter, but I like him. I don't mind him on that team as much as other people don't.
No, I don't hate it. It's just odd to me. Like, I know you should take the best player on your board, but if you're 9th and Davion Mitchell is the best player on your board with guys like Moody and Zaire and Booknight, like I really thought they were going to take Moody. I thought that would have been a great spot, a much better fit with Halliburton and Fox. Still somebody he's 19, he's got upside, like all that. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see what Mitchell turns into. But
would you prefer Mitchell to be? So there's two teams that he was really rumored to throughout the whole process. It was 13 with the Pacers. I know it was a possibility. And then obviously with Golden State as a player that can help right away. Do you feel either of those teams would have been a better fit than where he landed in Sacramento?
Absolutely. Especially Golden State. Yes. Pacers, maybe not so much, but then that may have changed what they did with TJ McConnell. It seemed destined that the Pacers were going to draft Duarte to replace Doug McDermott and then re-sign TJ McConnell. But maybe if they took Mitchell, that would be different. If he went to Golden State, he can play with Steph and Clay. Like, cause you slide Klay up to the three, and then you've got like that's your three guard lineup. In Sacramento, they already have a three guard lineup. So like you'd have to run a four guard lineup to get him out there with their best players.
It's not bad. I just always thought of him as a guy that can come off the bench, bring some energy, play good D, maybe a guy that plays at the end of games as well. His free throw shooting is not very good though. So
right, but you just took that guy who's best coming off the bench at ninth overall. So Kangs. going to 10th, Memphis trading up to 10 from New Orleans in the Jonas Valanciunas, Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, New Orleans continuing to make mistakes and then paying assets to cover for those mistakes. Move, they took Zaire Williams, and I really like Zaire. I thought there were some people that had him in the 20s, and I thought that was crazy. I pegged him as a lottery pick. Top 10 was a little bit aggressive because I didn't think the teams inside the top 10 would take a project like him. But once Memphis went up there, it was clear they were going for him. He has no positional competition other than Slo-Mo. And I'm not sure Slo-Mo is long for the Grizzlies when the Grizzlies clearly were fine with being worse, trading Jonas Valanciunas, the better player in the deal, for Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe to gain that asset. So it seems like Memphis is doing a little bit of self-reflection in this and drafting an extremely high upside wing, a player that they currently do not have on their roster after not picking up Justice Winslow's team option this year.
I don't love Zaire Williams as much as I know you did, but he was injured a lot last year in his only college season that he had. So you can't really, it's hard to give a good perspective on the type of player he can be. He obviously has great size, the ability to shoot the ball, the ability to defend. So there's a lot of different things he can do well. He just didn't really show it last year. But we'll see. Memphis, I don't mind him going to Memphis. They do a decent job at developing their players. And as you mentioned, them declining that option on Winslow tells me a lot. Williams is the backup there. I mean, he's going to be right behind Slo-Mo. And I mean, obviously he has a lot more potential and upside than what Slo-Mo has. So you never know if Memphis gets out of it early. If something happens where they're not in the playoff hunt, we can see him towards the end of the season getting a lot of minutes, and that's got to be pretty exciting for any of those that draft him.
Something that gets overlooked so much when it comes to bad teams or not bad teams, because I don't think Memphis is bad, but teams that don't have championship aspirations and are more retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, is it still matters having good players around. And so Slo-Mo is a good player, and he does a lot for the Grizzlies in that starting lineup. I think it might be a little bit much to just start Zaire right off the bat. I mean, maybe if we see him in summer league and he's just dominating, or it's very clear early on that Zaire just needs more opportunity, then maybe you see that. But it just matters having those good players around, having competent NBA basketball players around, because you throw too many projects or too many young, inexperienced players on the court at the same time, and it can just have a diminishing return, even though you're trying the best to get that many people out there. One of the biggest winners of the draft is the Charlotte Hornets, and they started being the winners of the draft at number 11, taking James Bouknight, who most people had as a top seven because they thought for sure OKC or Golden State, like we talked about. Even New Orleans would have been a good spot for him. But he goes to Charlotte, and not only does he go to Charlotte, but then Devontae Graham inexplicably is worth a first-round pick to the New Orleans Pelicans after they lost Lonzo Ball. And then in a move that I kind of liked is they let Malik Monk be an unrestricted free agent. There's like an organizational, I don't know what to call it. I just like that for organizations. Like, okay, we're not going to retain you. We just drafted your replacement, who's probably better than you already. So just go field offers, and we don't even have to mess with it. So those two players, Graham and Monk, combined for 50 minutes a game last year, and they're gone. And the only replacement, like you said, was Brad Wanamaker. And I am confident that Brad Wanamaker will not be playing significant minutes. You got to put some aside for LaMelo to get up into that 30 plus minute range. But Bouknight's going to get a big helping of minutes on a team that could use his scoring.
Yeah, they did just sign Ish Smith, who's another guy that could, I guess, back up LaMelo. But I mean, you have to be really excited with what Charlotte did if you're a fan. I love their draft. I think they're the biggest winners of the draft.
Easily.
They nailed both picks. That team's looking really bright, their future. Book Knight's a guy I love. I think he's going to be a baller in this league, a really good scorer. And I love the fit. I mean, he's going to come off the bench. We know that. But he's such a good fit for that team and what they need. He can be a playmaker off the ball. He can run sets if you need him to do that. He did a lot of that at UConn. He had the ball in his hands quite a bit there. He was their main playmaker. So obviously he needs to improve. He needs to be able to show that he can shoot the ball a lot better than he did in college. But you have to love the fit. I think nobody gets hurt with him adding, you know, Graham's gone, Monk's gone. Nobody's role is taken with him being there. And you just really have to like the fit a lot. And he can even get in there and when they do the three guard sets. I know they did that a lot. That was more so because Hayward was out, but they can still do that as well with him.
Yeah, if they run PJ Washington at the center, because they didn't make a move for a true starting center this year. They made a move up to get Kai Jones, who I thought was going to be their pick at 11. But as soon as I saw them trade late, I called it while we were doing a live show for a Pacers podcast. I was like, that's for sure Kai Jones. But it shows the direction that Charlotte is going. And I think that that's really important for Book Knight in that Terry Rozier is expiring this year. They did not go out and sign Rashawn Holmes for whatever money, even though I think they should have with the money Rashawn Holmes got. They traded for Mason Plumlee and got a pick with Mason Plumlee for whatever reason. So they got their Cody Zeller replacement. And I just think Charlotte is taking their time and they're doing good things. And Book Knight is one of those good things because I wouldn't have thought he was going to be there at 11, and them losing Graham and Monk is just incredible for what he's going to be. And I think Book Knight is probably, he went sixth in a rookie draft that I just did. And I don't think that's terribly crazy.
That's a really good point with this being Rozier being on a contract year. If Book Knight plays well, shows potential, I could see them not paying Rozier. Rozier's not a guy you want to pay a lot of money to. In my opinion, I think what they gave him, what was that, a four-year deal that they gave him? Or was that three?
I think it was three for 56 or something like that. Whatever it was, it was an overpay at the time. It just happens to be a whole lot better now. So they probably don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, he made it work out. I think he's going to want more than what he got.
I would say so.
Be extremely uncomfortable giving him that. So if Book Knight shows any bit of potential, if he has a solid season, I mean, we could see him starting next to LaMelo next year or in 2 years, which you got to love that. So
yeah, there's a pathway. That's really, really important. And his pathway plus the combination of what he can do is the most important out of the top five guys. And that's why he went sixth, is because of that pathway. So speaking of pathway, this player, number 12 to the Spurs, Josh Primo, he has a pathway to minutes because it seems like the Spurs are moving into the rebuild, but he doesn't because he's a Spurs rookie. So he won't play very much in his rookie year.
Are the Spurs moving into a rebuild? Nobody knows what
Patty Mills left. They signed Zach Collins, who's going to play three games for them. DeMar obviously is on your Bulls now, and they got Thad Young, who's probably not long for the roster, but I don't know.
I feel like as long as Popovich is there, they'll never just tear it down and do a full rebuild like they really need to, but who knows? The Primo pick, we have it down here as a really big reach. A guy that was really a super surprising. I thought it was going to be Şengün. I thought that's who they were going to take there at that spot. And then all of a sudden, you know, a guy that was supposed to be a late first, maybe even an early second, gets taken there. He's one of the better shooters in the draft, the youngest player in the draft. But we know how Spurs do with rookies. I mean, Devin Vassell was an NBA ready player last year, and he hardly got in there. So I'd be super shocked if he got 12 minutes a game next year.
Vassell got more than 12 minutes a game last year. I think it was closer to 19 or something like that, but 17 minutes a game. Okay, so not great. But I don't love doubting San Antonio because they've just nailed all of their picks, and they have an infrastructure there that just has led to incredible development from so many players. But yikes, I don't know about that at 12, but you know, it's too early to judge that. We'll have to see in a couple of years. And now we're on to pick 13, my Indiana Pacers, who took Chris Duarte out of Oregon. I hated this pick at the time. Absolutely hated it. I wanted Moses Moody. First off, I wanted to trade out of the pick because they already had too many players. Rick Carlisle doesn't play rookies. They took Chris Duarte, 24 years old, 42% from three. He's a good player, started basketball late, was drafted. They think he can play right away. They like what he can do, and he's kind of a replacement for Doug McDermott. But if you look at the Pacers roster, I'm not sure Duarte is going to have a ton of opportunity to be replacing Doug McDermott, who played like 28 minutes a game last year.
I mean, he kind of better be able to play right away because he's already 24. He'll be on his rookie contract when he's entering his prime years. So I hope he's able to play right away for them. I think he will be a guy that's going to be your typical 3-and-D type player. Not going to get a ton of minutes, but should have a steady role with the Pacers this year as a guy that can really shoot the ball. Not a guy I'm personally really excited about in rookie drafts whatsoever, just because, like I said, he is 24. He's going to be coming off the bench, and in the future, I don't see a huge role for him on the Pacers. So not a guy I'm really excited about. I don't think he really hurts anybody from a dynasty perspective on that Pacers team. He's going to have a solid role. He's going to know his role. So I don't think he really hurts anybody either, though.
No, and before I start ranting on all things Pacers here, I just one last thing. Chris Duarte at the end of his rookie contract will be the same age as Doug McDermott just was when he got his contract, to just put that little bit of context out there. But I need to be done talking about the Pacers. So let's move on to number 14, Golden State Warriors' second lottery pick, and they took Moses Moody. I think this is a great pick for them. I thought there was rumors of them taking Moody at 7 and then Davion Mitchell at 14, which would have been reasonable. I think if the draft falls just a couple picks differently, that's probably what happens. But they got Moody at 14. I think he's going to play right away, especially with Kelly Oubre still not signed.
Yeah, I think one could say that Golden State got the two biggest steals in the draft in terms of talent.
So.
And having Kuminga fall to them at 7, who a guy early on was just crazy to even think he was going to fall out of the top 5. And then get Moody, who a guy everybody had inside the top 10, fall to them at 14. So two really good value picks for Golden State. Again, Golden State's got playoff championship aspirations. Wiggins is still there for the moment. If I had to guess, I'd say Moody plays more minutes. I'd still take Kuminga ahead of him in rookie drafts, but I don't mind the pick here. I think he's going to get some quality minutes for them off the bench.
I would be definitely not taking Moody ahead of Kuminga because Kuminga has a higher ceiling and is going to be somebody more likely to be invested in by a team. He's more of that blue chip prospect.
And Clay's still coming off a major injury. So
very true.
You know, we don't know exactly how he's going to respond. His role in that offense is obviously very stable, and he's a guy that's not a really explosive player. He doesn't rely on being an explosive player. So I think he'll be okay, but you never know. They could, you know, limit his minutes early on in the season. They could limit his minutes throughout the season, which could give you a little more minutes for Moody.
It's funny to say that Klay Thompson is the one who's going to suffer the most from the Warriors picking Moses Moody at 14, but that's the reality of Klay Thompson coming back from injury and Moses Moody maybe being ready to play right away. Is they don't feel the need to play Klay Thompson 30 minutes a night. They can play him 27, give those extra 3 minutes to Moody, and maybe you lose a couple more games, but you let Klay rest up, ramp up to where he needs to be. So that the Warriors are my most fascinating team because they have two completely different rosters between Steph, Klay, Dre, Wiggins, and then Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody. It's just crazy to think about. But no, I don't know if anybody's really going to be impacted that much. It's going to depend entirely on if Moody's actually ready to play. That's the lottery. That's everybody. There wasn't that many big impacts, which is kind of makes the show a little bit boring. At the same time, what is going to be the most interesting is where these players are going in your rookie drafts, because there's a drastically different set of evaluations from manager to manager. And like I said, Book Knight went 6, Kuminga went 7, somebody got Giddy at 9, and then Sengun at like 13, which is just for fantasy is pretty ridiculous. We will be back to break down the rest of the first round and some of the second round picks that really stood out to us. Trav, you got any teases for that?
Yeah, we got a couple sleepers I think we're going to throw in there for those of you in 30 teamers. So definitely take a peek at that upcoming podcast.
Absolutely. That will be out relatively soon. Before we close out, please go check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your listening material, and give us a review. I think last time I checked, we were at 14 reviews, which is great. Very excited about that. If we get to 20, then we'll do another mailbag. So that's the marker we have to hit. So if we don't do a mailbag for a couple months, it's because we don't have any reviews. So please get out there, give us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think about the show. Send us all your questions in. We'll try to throw them in at the beginning. Follow both of us on Twitter at @Rhett_Bauer, @RHETT_BAUER. Follow Travis at @Travis_Fuller92. And always check out all our stuff over at Hoopball. There's a bunch of good stuff coming out. Stay tuned for episode 2 of the NBA draft.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.